Good morning, everybody. It's a special day today. Let's go ahead and hit the first slide. What is today?
Palm Sunday.
Hosanna to the King. And what do you think that is? Okay. So just to clarify, when we say Palm Sunday, we don't mean like Hawaiian coconut palms or the ones in California. We mean date palms, Middle Eastern date palms. And so that's the tree. The dates that form are, they form right in the middle there where the branches go out. They form in little clusters, and they look like this. Anybody have dates? So this is brings back memories, because my family growing up, the only time we had dates was when we would go to grandma's house, on the Italian side of the family, nonno and nonna. And we would have celebrations with incredible food, spreads of food, all Holy Week, today being Palm Sunday. We would have dates, and we would get the palms. And then my mother and father, and my grandmother and grandfather, would make the palms into, not that, that, little crosses. And then my brother and I would use them to have sword fights. Which in a spiritual warfare sense is not that far off, amen? But it was a good reminder to me that Palm Sunday was a way to lead to the cross of Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, let's pray for the service. We are doing a pause of our current sermon series, and the name of this sermon is The Lesson, or I should say The Lesson, if you're a Christian, The Lesson of Palm Sunday. Join me, please. Lord, to many of us, this story is well known. And yet, you give us fresh manna every morning. Your promises are new every morning. So let that be the case this morning. You be the one who teaches, Lord. You be the one who opens up to eyes, the eyes of us, all of us here, to things we knew not of. You be the one that strengthens us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, question. What was the annual Jewish holiday that involved the waving of palms? I'm glad you asked me that question. So that is a map, so to speak, of the holidays that God told Moses to have the people of Israel celebrate. Seven holidays: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost in the spring, and then a space during the harvest time of the winter, growing the crops, and then at the end, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Trumpets, Atonements, and Tabernacles. We now know in hindsight that that was a map of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He died on the Passover. He was put in the ground on unleavened bread. He rose on the Feast of First Fruits. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. We're currently in the church age. The gospel's going forth. That's the middle section. And the time will come when God will gather, Jesus will gather his people to himself. The rapture is the Feast of Trumpets. The second coming is the Day of Atonement. And the Feast of Tabernacles is Jesus reigning on earth for 1,000 years, the millennium. So we can go home now. So, the question was, what's the annual Jewish holiday that involved the waving of palms? So just take note. Passover is the first one. Tabernacles is the last one. Next. The Feast of Tabernacles was the Jewish holiday in the Law of Moses that incorporated palm branches. Here it is. This is from Leviticus 23, where God gives that command through Moses. In the 15th day of the seventh month, you, the people of Israel, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, the harvest, you will keep the Feast of Tabernacles unto the Lord for 7 days. The first day shall be a Sabbath, and the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take on the first day the branches of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, thick trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. That was supposed to be symbolic. You're supposed to go build a little hut for yourself on your porch or in your yard or wherever you were on the roof. And that was a reminder that, yes, we're in the promised land now, and we have a harvest now, but it wasn't always that way. Because we used to be wandering in the wilderness. We used to have to make these little sukkots, little booths, little tabernacles to live in. And God was faithful and kept us alive with his manna. But we're remembering that every year, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what that was for. It was a remembrance in good times of when times weren't always so good. The Feast of Tabernacles was also prophesied to be the holiday, out of all those holidays, that all the nations of the earth would one day celebrate together under Messiah the King. Here's a scripture from the prophet Zechariah. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem. So Zechariah is talking about what we now call Armageddon, the last war, which if Jesus had let it go on, it would have destroyed all life on earth. But thank God he's going to stop it. Those days have not been shortened, right? He's going to stop it and save and deliver the people of Israel from the nations of the earth attacking them. And that's what this is talking about. Shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So all the nations are going to send delegations to Jerusalem every year to the King, the Lord of hosts, the King who is God. And they're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles as a way to remember, yes, it's good now, it's the millennium now, the Messiah is ruling on earth now, it's good now, but things weren't always so good. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them there shall be no rain. Trust me, they'll all be there. Okay. What is the Feast of Tabernacles' connection to Palm Sunday? I'm glad you asked that question. This is the Gospel of John, the narrative about Palm Sunday, chapter 12. Now, I'm going to not read every single verse, and I'm going to skip around a little bit, but it's for the sake of time and clarity, so just in case you're wondering. This is from John 12:12-23. On the next day, the crowd who had come for the Passover feast, right, the first holiday, because the Jewish people were supposed to gather three times a year, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles at Jerusalem if they could. So the crowd of Jewish people from all over the known world came to celebrate the Passover feast. When they heard that Jesus was also coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees. So in the outlying area, there would have been groves, if you will, of the people growing date palm trees. So they're going and they're getting these branches of palm trees, and they went out to meet Jesus. And they began to shout, quote, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Then the Pharisees said to one another, quote, you see that we are not doing any good at all. Behold, the whole world has gone after him. In other words, our opposition of trying to shut him down, of trying to discredit him, of opposing him, it's not working, obviously. Look. So they're terribly, terribly frustrated. The day that we call Palm Sunday, that very first one, was meant to lead up to the Passover celebration in Jerusalem. But on that particular occasion, the crowd celebrated it as if it was the Feast of Tabernacles, because they went and got palm branches, which is what God had commanded for the Feast of Tabernacles. The question is why? Here's why. And Jesus, this is continuing in the Gospel of John, Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat upon it, as it is written. This is a prophecy in the prophet Zechariah. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Daughter of Zion is another name for Jerusalem, the city. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. So the first Palm Sunday, that occasion, fulfilled another prophecy of Zechariah in Zechariah 9:9, that the Messiah would publicly arrive in Jerusalem, daughter of Zion, publicly arrive with humility on a donkey, which the crowd took to be proof that this must be the same Feast of Tabernacles king that Zechariah also predicted about the Feast of Tabernacles that we read together. They're going to come and worship the king, the Lord of hosts, right? The king, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You following me? So, look, that's him on a colt. Zechariah, now these, the Pharisees, you know, for all their faults, they made sure that all the rabbis taught all the prophecies about the Messiah to all the people in their homes to keep the faith alive in the midst of oppression from the Romans and everybody else. So these people knew their scriptures, even the most illiterate among them. Hey, look, that's him coming on a donkey. He's coming to Jerusalem, daughter of Zion. Oh my gosh, that's the king. Our king's going to arrive on a donkey. The king, what does that mean? Wait a minute, the king, same prophecy, same prophet. Zechariah says that those who survive from those that God's going to wipe out who try to come against Israel are going to come and worship that king. Let's go and get us some palm branches and speed this thing up. Because we're sick and tired of these Romans. They're killing us. It's not the King James Version. But you get the idea. I hope I haven't lost anybody. This is the Gospel of John chapter 12. All these things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified after he rose from the dead, then they remembered that all these things were written of him. Okay. I believe that is the most important verse in this entire Palm Sunday narrative if you're a Christian, what I just said. What's my goal today? My goal today is to help you to let not your heart be troubled. That's my goal. How are we going to get there? Well, my goal is to show you that when you look around yourself and you have no idea what's going on, and then sometimes you're bitterly disappointed at God, that the thing to do is press on and believe in him and lean on the promise that he gives us, that sooner or later we will understand. We don't understand now, but we will understand in the end that he has a plan. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not saying that whatever bad thing happens to you, you're supposed to assume that God's in it and God's doing it to you and that he's trying to teach you character and that he's trying to teach you a lesson. Because if you go that way with your mind, the devil always wins, because then he's going to beat you up. And you're not even going to rise up and fight him in spiritual warfare. So I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that there's going to be times when you won't know what the heck is going on. And it can be discouraging to you. And you need to lean on the promise that God has it. You know what? Just chill your jets. You don't understand now, but you will. And you will have peace. And you'll be strengthened. And you'll be better able to say, Jesus, you said, let not my heart be troubled. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. More specifically, the full meaning of the day that we call Palm Sunday and the meaning of how the various prophecy, messianic, Messiah prophecies all fit together was not understood by the disciples until after the fact. That's what that was saying. These things the disciples didn't understand, but then after he's glorified, then they understood. So with these three groups of people in mind, the Pharisees, the crowd, and the disciples, what is the lesson of Palm Sunday, if you're a Christian? What's the lesson of Palm Sunday? It's found in these words of Jesus. This is what he said to his disciples at the time of the Last Supper. Jesus said to his disciples, quote, what I am doing, you do not realize right now, but you will understand it later. That is a biblical concept. What I'm doing, you don't understand right now, but you will later. You will understand it later. The lesson of Palm Sunday, if you are one of Jesus' disciples, that's what he said to his disciples, is this. God sometimes waits to give understanding about what he's doing until after the fact. In other words, the lesson of Palm Sunday for Christians is you will understand it later. You will understand it later. Say it with me. I will understand it later. That's the promise you have from Jesus. when your head is spinning, when you're hurting, when you don't know what's going on, just remember what I just told you. Jesus said, you don't understand now, you will understand it later. But God does not give this kind of understanding to everyone. God does not give this understanding to Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees in this scenario represents the unbelieving world. Why does he not give that understanding to them? What does it say about the Pharisees? They got together and they had a council and they said, if we don't do something about this troublemaker, we're going to lose our power and our nation. So they have a self-serving agenda in the sense that they're afraid of losing the power and the control that they have. The unbelieving world, governments in general, all governments except actually the way our government was originally set up, which allowed freedom of religion, and we need to pray that that stays a reality. But governments in general hate Jesus. I remember reading one time after the fall of the Soviet Union that the communist Chinese believed that the reason why the Soviet Union fell was because of the Christians, the born-again Christian revival that was going on in the Soviet Union at the time. Because the Chinese communists believed that that opened the door to the idea that there was a higher authority than the government, than them. Same problem the Pharisees had. There's a higher authority than us. We're not going to take that lying down. We're going to kill him. So that's the point. God does not give this understanding to Pharisees after the fact of what he, God, is doing, because that represents the unbelieving world's lust for power and control. God does not give this understanding to the crowd, representing those who claim to be followers, but who follow, quote-unquote, only out of self-interest. I explained to you over the last 20 minutes why the crowd said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna means save us now. The King of Israel, here's the palms. Come on now. Right? I explained it to you because they believed that Jesus was now going to come and blow away the Romans and rescue them from their oppression. Too bad for all of us that needed his blood to save us from our sins so we could not be judged in the day of judgment. But they didn't know that. They couldn't know that. They were praising Jesus. They were pretending to be followers, but they only had their self-interest in mind, their own liberation in mind. They wanted to remake Jesus into their own image. They wanted to remake Jesus into something that would suit and serve them. They were followers of Jesus in name only, so long as it fit their agenda. And it breaks my heart to say that in many ways, the church throughout history, even in our time, falls into that trap. We don't like the Jesus that the scripture really kind of talks about. We want to remake him into somebody who's, well, he's chill with sin. He's okay. What I'm doing doesn't matter that much to him. In fact, he kind of likes it. That's serving Jesus. That's following him in name only. That's being somebody who has an agenda. We're approaching Jesus with an agenda of our own, with our own self-interest. The crowd, okay? God only gives this kind of understanding, where he says, you don't understand it now, I'm going to explain it to you after the fact. He only gives that understanding to disciples of Jesus who are sincerely devoted to him from the heart. Jesus said that to his disciples. You don't understand, but you will. A good way for me to measure the sincerity of my devotion is for me to answer this question. So if you're asleep, it's time to wake up. Would I still love and serve him, even if I think he has painfully disappointed me? See, the disciples did. They thought he was going to come and conquer the Romans, but they still loved him, and they followed him. That's why you and I are sitting here today, because of those faithful disciples. But that explains why the crowd so quickly turned against Jesus. They said, Hosanna today, and crucify him tomorrow. Because now he's allowing himself to be taken by the Romans. In this case, Pontius Pilate has whipped him and flogged him. And Pilate says, what do you want me to do with your king? And they said, we hate that guy now. Because we know he can raise the dead, he can walk on water, he can still the storm with his mouth, with his word, and he won't do a thing, he won't lift a finger against you all. Therefore, we hate him. Therefore, he's disappointed us. Therefore, we say, crucify him. What about your king? We have no king but Caesar. So, what is the personal application of this, you'll understand it later, Palm Sunday lesson in our lives? How can we apply that personally? If you believe that what I'm saying is true, that you have a promise in Jesus Christ, that when you don't know what's going on, Jesus says, you know what, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but you will later. In my time, in my way, I'll reveal to you what's going on. If you believe that, what's the personal application? How is that going to help you? What should you do? Okay, who's that guy? Anybody seen that picture before? He's somewhat famous because he figured out how to build an antenna that could pick up the radio signals from the International Space Station. He was hacking, he was listening in on their communications. And so this guy, he was a really smart guy, he built an antenna. He always had his antenna up. That's the point. You want to live in the Spirit. You want to be ready when God says to you, oh, but by the way, remember what happened such and such? Here's why. Wow, thank you, Lord. I get it now. You want to be ready. You want to be this guy. You want to be living in the Spirit. That's another, I've just given you another reason to spend time with God, to make it a priority, to then still your heart. Don't just flap your gums. Then you make your request known to him, yes. But then you still your heart, you quiet your soul, and you listen. And you just may find out that, I think God just showed me something. Folks, that's worth the price of admission right there. You want to live in the Spirit, and one more reason to do so is what we're talking about today, so that God can tell you what's really going on and what has gone on in your life. What is the national application, as in the United States of America, of this, you'll understand it later, Palm Sunday lesson? Okay, Kim and I went a couple weeks ago to Gainesville, Georgia, to probably the best conference we've ever gone to. They had some very powerful, well-known speakers, and they were talking about many things. One of the things they were talking about that came up was the fact that there seems to now be a consensus amongst people like them that, you know what, back in 2020, all these well-known prophets of God in the Christian community had said, Trump's going to have two terms, and he lost. And so there was this sort of crisis going on. And then, in the eyes of Christians, all hell broke loose, which is to say, we saw, it all rose to the surface, the depth of the depravity that was waiting inside of our nation, and the extent of the corruption, political corruption, that was resident in the levers of power in our nation for 4 years. I guess you can tell that I agree with that. But what they were saying at this conference was, you know what? God was saying to them, you don't understand why that happened, but now you're going to understand. It was necessary for us to see clearly. It was necessary for the blinders to be removed from the eyes of the church. Was necessary for God to show us, you think you're this bad. I'm going to show you how bad things really are. I'm going to show you turning Easter into a day of trans recognition, which you never dreamed could ever happen. And then you're going to see stuff. You're going to see waste, fraud, and abuse. Golly, have you been seeing some of this stuff? How all these millions of people on the Social Security rolls are 115 years old, or, you know, 200 years old. Anybody been aware of some of this? Okay. So God is saying, you know, God had to let that happen. I believe there's more dimensions to this than just what I'm saying. God had to let that happen. And at the time we thought, God, what's happening? What are you doing? And now we say, oh, okay. so that you and I can make up our minds to live for Jesus Christ where we are and do the best we can, me and you, to turn things around. That's the national application. What is the application of this? You'll understand it later, Palm Sunday lesson for our church. The answer to that question is found in the very next part of that Palm Sunday narrative in the Gospel of John, which talks about certain Greeks. Here it is. This is continuing that narrative in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Now, there were some Greeks among those who were going up to the worship at the feast. These Gentiles, okay? These then came to Philip, one of the disciples of Jesus, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, which was full of Greek-speaking people, because he would have understood them, and began to say to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, which is Simon Peter's brother, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. We got Greeks here, the Gentile Greeks, they want to see you. Then Jesus answered him and said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man," speaking of himself, "to be glorified." Now you're talking. The world. God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The application for our church is to realize, after the fact, that the struggles that we and other small churches in America have been going through, which we heard about at that conference over in recent years, have been for the purpose of pruning us. This is what Jesus said he would do. If you're bearing any fruit at all, we're going to prune you back. Pruning us so that we can more effectively focus on reaching more Greeks. That's it. Are you a Greek? If you're watching online, do you have a hunger in your heart to see Jesus? That God would open. Remember the song? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Right? I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Right? Holy, 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 I want to see you. The beauty of that, as represented by that song, as represented by the Greeks, is they had no agenda. They had no agenda. They weren't like the Pharisees. They weren't like the crowd. They weren't even just confused like the disciples. They just want to see Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, was the fulfillment of that calendar that we saw. He's the Savior of the human race. He's the Son of God and God the Son. He came, he lived the perfect sinless life. He was the pure and spotless Lamb that the Passover was symbolically talking about. And now if we believe in him, that he died to take the punishment we deserve for our sins so that we won't be judged the day of judgment, we believe it, then suddenly we get his righteousness, he gets our sin. And he rose from death on the third day so we would live forever together with him. If you want to be, on Passover, the person that, symbolically speaking, takes the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and puts it on the door, lintels and door of your heart, then God will pass over you in the day of judgment. That's the promise. He came, he died for us, he rose from the grave, and then when we do that, when we believe in Jesus Christ, he gives us his Holy Spirit so that you can have an antenna, spiritual antenna, so that you can hear God speaking to you in the whispers of the night and in the things that you do during the daytime, and he will reveal things to you that could save your life. Literally. But more importantly, empower your life to reach others. If you don't know Jesus, now's the time. Don't waste another minute. Just say in your heart, "I'm like that Greek. I want to see Jesus. I really want to see him for who he is. And I believe in him." Just say, just do what I did years ago. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Son of God and you died to take my punishment. You rose from death so I would live with you forever. And now I want to be a follower of Jesus. I don't want to be like the Pharisees. I don't want to be like the crowd. I want to be like your faithful disciples to whom you gave your precious promises. I want to be one of those people. So come into my heart, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. Live your life in me. This Palm Sunday, I say Hosanna. I say Hosanna. And I come to you. And I promise that I'll do the very best I can to live for you and to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.